This is Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Hello and welcome to episode 7 of the Answers UK Radio podcast. My name is Paul Taylor and I'm the senior speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. We've been doing this podcast for a few weeks now and this is a radio program which we're sharing over the internet with topical discussion, topical ideas on the subject of creation, evolution and Genesis. At the beginning of 2010, well, in March 2010 to be exact, we're looking forward to welcoming American creationist speaker Mike Riddle over to the United Kingdom. Now, Mike is a very enthusiastic and dynamic speaker on the subject of creation and evolution, and has been speaking on the subject for very, very many years, and the last couple of years has become part of the Answers in Genesis ministry in the United States. Well, we're delighted that we're going to be welcoming him over to the United Kingdom. And we're still looking at the moment for some churches to host meetings with Mike during the first 2 weeks of March 2010. So if you'd be interested in hosting a meeting with Mike, then do contact us at the Answers in Genesis offices. And we will try to fit you in. And I know that you'll be blessed if you hear him speak. And I thought it would be good to have a chat with Mike for this podcast and ask him a few things about his ministry and about the things that he'll be talking about when he comes over. And so I contacted him and recorded this interview with him by Skype. And the first thing I asked him was just to explain a little bit to us about how he became a Christian and got involved in the creation ministry.
Well, Paul, I grew up as an evolutionist and a non-Christian. And I just bought evolution because it was all I was ever taught and it sounded good to me. And it wasn't until earlier in my 20s that I had somebody witness to me. I was actually used to be an athlete. And I use the word used to be there because I still do some jogging and do my push-ups pretty regularly, but I don't compete anymore around the world in track and field. But I was in the gymnasium one day lifting weights and a man came up and sat down beside me. It was the first time in my life somebody actually presented the gospel message to me. And then he asked me some questions. And I answered all his questions wrong and really ignored everything he had to tell me because I had no room in my life for God now. But it wasn't until 7 years after that. I was on a business trip in the States, and I was doing computers at the time. I used to work for Microsoft and other computer companies. And I got done work late one evening and got back to the motel room and got in bed that night, and I finally understood the message that man told me. And that is the night I got on my knees and professed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then finally, after I got back in bed, I still couldn't go to sleep. I had a strong desire to teach the book of Genesis, which I had not even read yet.
Right.
So I reached into the drawer in that motel room, pulled out a Bible, and started reading the book of Genesis. And it was very clear to me, if I couldn't trust that first chapter of the book of Genesis, why even bother reading the rest of the Bible? Because it would have no credibility anymore. Or some, not all, but some of what I was taught at universities was not true. So I decided, rather than just go on what people had told me, I decided to actually do some investigation, start asking some questions. And I'd travel all over the country and talk to these scientists and professors and ask them questions about evolution. And you know, Paul, I found an answer. I found an interesting pattern. All these very learned people, scientists, they were towering above me in intelligence in some of these areas. They had a lot of wonderful stories, but not one of them could directly answer my questions. They could talk all around it, but they couldn't answer my questions.
Right.
So I decided if all these smart people, and they were very smart people, could not answer my basic questions about evolution, why should I believe it? So I went back to the Bible and started reading the Bible. You know what I found about the Bible? I found answers.
Yes.
Not only found answers about beginnings, I found the answers about hope for life. And that's when I became a creationist. And I didn't compromise God's word. Either it was God's word or it was not God's word. That was the choice right there. And I trusted it for what it was. So I became a six-day young earth creationist because that's exactly what the Bible taught. I did not have to compromise it to be friends with the world.
Absolutely.
Then the most amazing thing was not that. Well, that is amazing that God pulled me out in spite of myself. He had mercy on me. He saved me. But several years ago, my wife and I, we travel all over the country and around the world together, my wife Leslie. We were on a six-week speaking tour. 6 weeks we were on the road. Every day we were speaking in one or more churches and schools. And we stopped in one place in Florida called Jacksonville, Florida. And that night we were staying with a pastor. And after I got there, I sat across from this pastor and we began talking about the Bible. We talked about creation. That's what pastors do. They talk about Bible, which I'm very glad they do. Although some don't. And we began talking. Then we found out we had both been in the Marine Corps, United States Marine Corps.
Right.
So that gave us something else to bond, and we started talking about what we had done in the Marine Corps. And we found out we had both been stationed in a place called Quantico, Virginia, a large Marine Corps training base. So we began to reminisce and talked about that. And we continued to talk, and then we found out we'd both been stationed at a very small Marine Corps base called Yuma, Arizona. It's an air base and a missile base.
Right.
So we started talking about that. Then after a while, he just stopped talking. He looked right at me. And then he sat back in his chair. He just stopped talking. And he said this to me. Mike, I remember you. Do you remember me? 27 years ago in a gymnasium, I gave you the gospel presentation.
Wow.
Same man.
He was the same man.
Same man. God brought us back together again.
And see, sorry, Mike, could you mind me interrupting? So until that point, did he not know that you had been saved?
No, he did not. He knew I was saved because here I am getting ready to preach in his church.
Yes.
But he didn't know as the same person from 27 years ago.
He didn't know that that young man that he sat down next to in the gymnasium had been saved.
Because my hair was red back then. Now it's a little bit white.
Isn't that an encouragement to people? You know, if people take the time to witness to people, and he went and he didn't know that God had done anything in the person's life who he'd spoken to, and in fact, even in your life, you said it took 7 years before you were saved, and then God, in His mercy, was able to tell him that yes, His words had not returned to him void, that they'd spoken to you. And that is just a wonderful, encouraging story, Mike.
Well, thank you, Paul. See, it's not about winning the conversation. It's about getting the truth. It's the Holy Spirit that will change lives.
Wow.
So, in other words, that man did what he was supposed to do. And you know what, Paul? I had another opportunity last year to go back and visit his church. And I got an opportunity to give my testimony. And here was what happened. When I got finished giving my testimony, then I said, and that man who witnessed to me is here today. He's called your pastor. And the church just was silent. They didn't know that about their pastor. And he's remained true all this time. He still goes to gymnasiums and preaches the gospel to whoever will listen. So all these years, a true warrior.
That is just so wonderful. I'm so glad I asked that question. That is absolutely wonderful. I'm almost speechless, but I daren't be speechless trying to record a radio interview. But that is just wonderful. That is absolutely wonderful. Mike, we heard you mention about you being having been in the Marines, and obviously for those of you who've not yet met Mike, you won't know that he stands up straight and looks the part. In a sense, I wasn't surprised to find you'd been in the Marines, and you were an athlete, weren't you, Mike?
Yes, I was an athlete. I competed in track and field internationally. My event was the decathlon, the 10 events.
Yes.
And I've actually won a United States track and field championship 1 year in the track and field pentathlon, the 5 event. And I've placed high up in the nationals in the decathlon also. And those were fun times, but I really enjoyed that. But you get older and you can't do those things anymore.
Right.
But it was because I used to work out 5 hours every day. But you know, when you work out that much, you get to eat a lot too. And that was the other fun part.
Well, I don't know how you could say you eat a lot, because you certainly don't put it on at all, do you?
God has blessed me with a good metabolism.
Well, that's great. Well, we're looking forward to you to coming to speak over here. And I know that one of your great passions is to do with education, and you like to speak on the subject of education quite a lot. Can you tell me what you know, what really moves you as far as that's concerned? Because, you know, my background is in education, and I've got a lot I want to tell people about education. And tell us really how that passion started, and what you sort of things you really want to be telling Christians and so on about.
You're right. I do have a very big passion for education. I have an advanced degree in education, and I've taught both at the junior high school level, the high school level, the college, and postgraduate levels. And so I've got a lot of experience there. I've taught Sunday schools. I've taught in schools of ministry before. So I've got a lot of area there. But I have a passion for doing education the right way. Too many times in education, we do things called the cram it, flush it approach. The teacher crams the information in. After the test, is just flushed right out, and very little learning takes place. Yes. And I like to see education done the right way. And I think a Christian education can be a lot better than what it is. Because methodology-wise, most Christian education is not much different than public schools or state schools there.
Yes.
Each for passing tests. Christian education really needs to be life-changing. And then we've got the whole idea of origins in the school system. How should that be taught? Well, we're basically into a position now in our education system of not doing education anymore, but forced indoctrination.
Yes.
And we're going through that in the states today, and we just had a victory in one of our states. The state of Texas just had a victory. In other words, the evolutionists, when they talk about science, they're trying to hinder science education in the public schools, state schools there. They're trying to hinder it. Because what they're trying to say is you can only teach evolution, only the strengths of evolution, and any science that contradicts evolution should not be taught or even mentioned in the schools.
Right.
But just recently in the state of Texas, we had a major win for education, good science education. Because now we're actually allowed in that state to teach the students all the scientific evidence, allowed to do critical thinking and analyze theories. See, evolutionists are the ones saying, we don't want you to do critical thinking. We don't want you to analyze these theories, especially evolution. Just believe what we teach you. That is very anti-education. Yeah. And that's what's happening in a lot of places around the world. In other words, who's really afraid of science?
Yeah.
It's not the Christians, creationists. It's the evolutionists that are trying to keep this good science out of the public schools. But as Christians, here's a misnomer. They're trying to teach that we creationists are trying to force our religious views into the school system. That is absolutely false. What we want is just the scientific evidence taught and allow students to do critical thinking. We're not trying to promote pushing creation in the science classrooms. We don't want intelligent design. We don't want the Bible being pushed because it's not a perfect world. We're trying to stick right to the law, what the law says. But the evolutionists are saying anything that goes against evolution is religion. Well, that's not true. That's just a talk. That's just a rhetoric. We just want the science taught and allow students to become good scientists and do critical thinking skills.
Yeah. Yeah. I sometimes think maybe there are quite a lot of Christian parents who don't really actually fully understand what's actually being taught to their children in schools. I think quite often that they're not aware of how these things go about. In the UK, we have this thing, certainly in England and in Wales, we have this thing called the National Curriculum. And I was involved at the beginning of that as to how science should be taught and people being encouraged to teach the processes of science and getting people to think. And suddenly, the one thing that they're not allowed to think about is the theory of evolution. They're taught that, that's fact, and they're not to discuss anything different. And that's completely anti-science, isn't it?
It really is. We're being taught what to think and not how to think.
That's right. And it's actually, therefore, damaging to the children's education.
It is. And you hit it right, Paul. Many Christian parents do not understand this issue. They don't understand that evolution is anti-Bible.
Right.
And what evolution really teaches is that Jesus Christ is not the Savior. He's not even the Creator. And if he's not our Savior, not our Creator, then why are Christians even going to church and using the Bible anymore? See, if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, as Paul said, then our faith is in vain. Why should we be sending our children? And this is a key issue here. And I understand there's times we have to send our children to the state schools because there's money issues. There's sometimes single family parents. There's a lot of issues where we send our students to public schools. But here's a key issue. The Bible clearly teaches that the number one teacher in our children's life is not the church, not the schools, but the parent.
Right.
Parents have the responsibility, a God-given responsibility, to train up their children. But they're still going to need to send them to schools because, again, money reasons and other family reasons. But our job as parents is to make sure our children are learning the right information. And a lot of Christian parents don't even bother to ask what their children are learning. And what they're learning is that the Bible is not true. And our children are not prepared for this. They have not been trained to withstand these assaults on God's Word.
That's right.
And we hear these parents say, well, my little Johnny or Susie, I'm going to send them to public schools. They're going to be the missionaries. They're going to be the salt and light. That is not what we find. These children are not prepared for what's going to happen. And as a result here in the States, 70% of our Christian students stop attending church after high school. They're simply not prepared for all this. And the 30% that continue to go to church, many of those end up having a compromised view of who God is.
Yes.
You're listening to Answers UK Radio, the podcast from Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Coming up after the break, more conversation with Mike Riddle after this.
I'd like to start by asking a question. How many of you like to lose all the time? How many of you like to win? Now, I like to win so much, when you play those games, I have the little hourglass. If you're not looking at me, I'm going tap, 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 tap to make that sand fall a little bit faster. Because I like to win.
Internationally renowned Answers in Genesis speaker Mike Riddle is coming to the UK in March 2010. Find out about hosting this dynamic speaker by contacting our offices, 0116-270-8400, and get hold of this DVD, 4 Power Questions to Ask an Evolutionist, at half price, £5 only.
Just go out and give the truth. It took me 7 years to understand it, so don't worry about time. But you know, you can't give that truth. You can't bring down those strongholds if you don't know the truth.
Welcome back to Answers UK Radio, Episode 7. In this program, I'm talking to creation speaker Mike Riddle. Mike Riddle will be touring the United Kingdom in March of 2010. And if your church is interested in having Mike, in hosting Mike at your church or organization, then do get in touch with us at the Answers in Genesis offices. Ring 0116-270-8400 and ask to talk about the Mike Riddle tour. Well, in my conversation with Mike that I recorded for this program, Mike was talking to us about his ideas on education and his vision for training people to talk about the subject of education, to train the child in the way he should go. So let's return to what Mike had to say.
So what we're doing here at Answers in Genesis is pulling together some new education and training courses to train parents, teachers, Sunday school teachers, how to speak and teach on this issue, and why this issue is so important to understanding the whole Bible.
Absolutely.
In other words, Answers in Genesis, we're not just about creation evolution. It's about the authority of Scripture.
Yes.
Do we believe it or don't we?
That's
the important part about this education. We've got to get the Christians to understand what the issue is, why it's important, and the whole relevance of creation to understanding the rest of the Bible, even to understanding the character of God.
Yes. Well, it's something that, you know, our listeners need to watch out for in as time approaches, as March 2010 comes around, because we're going to be getting you, Mike, to talk on this issue when you're over here, and it's such an absolutely important issue. We used to have a little phrase when I was in school teaching, teachers were meant to be in loco parentis. Is that a phrase that was used over in the States?
It's not a very common phrase over here.
in loco parentis, which I always used to think meant my father drives a train, but apparently it's to do with the fact that the teacher is in place of the parent. And I think in the education system in the UK, teachers have forgotten that they're actually there in place of the parent, because as you just said, Mike, the biblical position is that it's the parents who are primarily responsible for education. And it could be that we delegate that to other people, but if we do delegate it to other people, God is still going to hold us responsible for that when we stand before him.
That's right. He's given us these children, and we are responsible for him raising up these children in the way they should go.
I mean, we wouldn't invite a babysitter into our house to look after our children if we hadn't checked out who they were, would we? And yet we so often allow people to teach our children, and we haven't really checked out what their values are.
No. What I like to ask parents is this question, even theologians. Would you go, dressed in your normal street clothes, over to the battlefields in Iraq and Afghanistan or any other wars going on in the world, would you go to the battlefield dressed as you are? And they'd all say no. But you know what we're doing? We're sending our children to the battlefield totally unprotected and unprepared. As a result, losing many. The casualties are great that's happening. Nowhere in the Bible does it say we should be sending our children to the battlefields to do the work for us parents.
That's true.
But the other thing we're trying to do with the parents and the children is train them how to answer questions. It's called apologetics. Having a ready defense.
Right. Now, apologetics, Mike, we're not talking about saying sorry for our faith, are we?
Not at all. Apologetics, apologia, the Greek, means having a ready defense. And Christian apologetics means we can answer any and all critics. And I mean the word all there, because what does the Bible teach in 1 Peter 3:15? Have a ready answer always. Now, that is not a suggestion. That's a biblical mandate. That's a command.
Yes.
So as Christians, we need to follow the Bible and study to show thyself approved. That's another part in 2 Timothy 3. In Timothy, we're to study and show ourselves approved, rightfully handling the Word of God. So we got 1 Peter 3:15. We've got Timothy. So that means we have to be, all Christians have to be apologists, having answers. Why? Because the world has answers, has questions. And if we can't answer them, where are they going to go get their answers? From the television, from secular sources. And the same thing goes for our youth. We need to train them how to answer basic questions that are coming up, such as, where did Cain get his wife? How could the first 3 days of creation be literal days if the sun wasn't there until day four? What about carbon-14 dating? Does it really show the earth and the fossils are old? Or does it really show things are very young? How well does it work? Now, we're not saying you have to be scientists, because you don't have to be. But you can understand the basic principles. When I teach my courses and I do my lectures, I never go beyond ninth grade science.
Right.
You don't have to. Even I've been to NASA twice to speak in front of their scientists. On neither occasion did I have to go higher than about ninth grade science to get my point across that evolution simply cannot stand up against good science.
That's right. And a lot of what you're saying in your lectures, Mike, the presentations that you're giving, is giving people the weapons, isn't it, to make sure that they can respond, that they can answer at a level that they can cope with when they come up against these questions. Because that's the front line of the battle in the Christian faith at the moment, isn't it? Our faith is attacked mainly at the subject of Genesis, the subject of origins, and so on.
That's exactly right. I believe it's the most attacked book in the Bible right now, because the non-believer understands they don't have to directly attack the gospel. If they undermine our foundation, then the rest of it will crumble. Because if we don't believe Genesis, then we cannot explain the cross anymore. Because Jesus, we know, went to the cross, suffered and died on that cross, and was raised from the dead. Now the question comes, why? Why did Jesus have to go to the cross?
Yes.
And the only answer to that comes from the book of Genesis. So the non-believer understands very well this battle, that the attack has to be at the foundation. The church doesn't understand the issue in most cases still.
That is just so very important. And I know that there'll be many people who'll be listening who will be interested in the possibility of you coming to speak at their churches and their organizations in March. And if you're interested, you've heard what the sort of things that Mike's been saying, then please do get in touch with us at the Answers in Genesis offices here in Leicester, in England. The telephone number is 0116-270-8400. Get in touch with us, get in touch with me, and we'll get Mike to come and speak at your church, and you'll be blessed, and you'll be given the weapons that you need to be able to witness to the gospel. And that's just so important. So I'm very excited, Mike, with the prospect of you you coming over here and talking to us. So I'm really grateful to you for agreeing to do that. And will it be okay for us to call you again sometime and to talk further on many of these issues?
I would love to, Paul. And maybe when we come over, we can even run one of those special one-day classes training parents and teachers and even high school students how to defend their faith and how to speak and talk about this issue.
Well, we definitely need to do that. I've got a little note here on the piece of paper in front of me that it says it's very important that I ask you how many grandchildren you've got, Mike, and how cute are they on a level of 0 to 10?
Well, yeah, you asked the most important question there, Paul. I have 4 very, and I emphasize the word very, cute grandchildren. And you know, God has blessed us so much. They live just a 10-minute walk from our house. So we get to see them quite often. But our daughter and son-in-law are raising those children up. They know the Bible. They are memorizing Scripture. Every week they memorize Scriptures.
Wonderful.
So they can actually recite whole passages of the Bible. And the oldest one is only 9 years old. If they can do it, we can do it.
That's it. Train up a child in the way he should go.
So thank you for asking that most important question about grandchildren.
Well, thank you so much for talking to us this afternoon, Mike, and God bless you. And we're so excited about you coming over here, and we'll talk again very soon on this podcast. Thank you so much, Mike.
Thank you, and God bless you, Paul.
God bless you.
You've been listening to Answers UK Radio, a podcast produced by Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom. Presented by Paul Taylor, Senior Speaker with Answers in Genesis in the United Kingdom, and in this episode, featuring Mike Riddle, one of the speakers with Answers in Genesis in the United States. Do make sure that you get hold of the podcast. Have a look on the links on the Answers in Genesis website, answersingenesis.org. Make sure that you're on the United Kingdom page, and then on the free media over on the left-hand side, get the links for the podcast so that you can get up to date with the latest episodes. Remember, episode 8 will be coming very soon. This has been episode 7 of Answers UK Radio.